How do you do? The urge to take control of our lives seems to be universal, often precipitated by a traumatic event, often with disastrous results. As a teenager, the woman in this story decided to take control of her life after a family crisis. She is no longer headstrong, though, not since her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
You don't remember the fire, Cindy.
You said I was only 2, Mom.
Well, Barry was 6.
He should have known better.
Your dad lit the charcoal and warned you kids to stay away from the grill. Then he went inside the house. Barry thought the coals had gone out and wanted to help. He managed to get the gasoline can out of the cabinet.
He poured gasoline on hot charcoal?
Yes.
Where was I?
On the stairs going to the garage, we heard the explosion. Barry was on fire and started running. Grandpa arrived just then, grabbed a blanket out of his truck and rolled him on the lawn.
I'm glad I didn't see it.
For several years after that, you would fall down screaming whenever you heard a siren.
So that's how Barry lost his thumb.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been horrible, Mom.
Oh, he was burned all over his body. His face was completely burned. The doctor said he might not make it through the night. He needed a miracle.
This is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people are always at risk of hunger, the elements, personal safety. Few of them know that deliverance is at hand and not far off. When they come to Pacific Garden Mission, their needs are met thanks to generous friends who send financial gifts to keep the doors open day and night. Nourishing meals, fresh clothing, a clean, safe bunk are provided to hundreds of men, women, and children each day. And resident guests also receive medical and dental treatment, if needed, in the Mission Clinic. The Mission is a launching pad, a place where untold numbers have found new life and gone out to tell others the good news. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3,193 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
It was a miracle that Barry survived. Your dad and I took turns sleeping in the burn unit with him.
Where was I?
Well, your grandma came and stayed with you. When Barry was ready to come home from the hospital, we sent you to live with my mother in Arkansas for a couple of months because Barry needed so much care.
Poor Barry. People always stare at him when we go out in public.
Well, what's on the outside is not as important as what's on the inside, Cynthia.
But the outside is what others see.
If you don't like what's on the inside, you can change that too.
It's a lot harder to change the inside.
How to change the inside. That's what the woman in this story faced, and this is the story of how she changed. The true testimony of a woman we're calling Cynthia right now on Unshackled.
I was born in Kansas City and grew up with 2 older brothers. After my oldest brother, Barry, was badly burned, he went back to school, enduring stares because of his burn scars. I always stood up for him. I loved animals and would bring home strays. Somehow, I always knew that God existed and I wanted to be close to him. Mom let me go to church with a friend a few times where they taught of God's love and that Jesus had died to give us a special life with him. When they passed the offering plate, I wrote on a slip of paper, "I love you, Jesus," thinking he would be pleased with my offering. Suddenly, my tender heart was jabbed by another family crisis.
Think of what you're doing to the kids, Alex.
It won't hurt them one iota. I'll make sure of that.
I was hoping that you'd come to your senses. Divorce can't solve anything. It's wrong.
Says who? Lots of people get divorced these days.
I thought you loved me.
I do, but we drifted apart. I'm sorry, Lenore, but I've waited for years, and I still want to be with her.
How can you do this to me? To our family? Even your mom wants you to change your mind.
Look, I'll keep the kids on the weekends and pay you child support, but I can't live here anymore. I want my freedom.
I follow Dad out the door, begging him to stay, but he insisted he was doing the right thing. I grieved so much after Dad left. My umbrella of protection was gone. We were all devastated. The divorce was final when I was 11. I couldn't trust anyone anymore, so I decided to take control of my life. I did well in school, excelling in music and art, but inwardly I rebelled. I didn't honor Mom in my attitude. She had taken a job as a teacher at my school, loved by all the students. Mom attended all of our games and other events. She gave up her life for us. We had to move out of our home into a townhouse and then into an apartment because Mom didn't earn enough, even with two jobs. My brother, Barry, became the authority at home.
You're so irresponsible. I mean, look at your messy room. And have you done your homework yet?
Yes. Have you done yours?
Don't be smart with me, Cindy.
But I am smart. I get A's, I'm second chair violin, and I'm in the choir. I'm gonna be famous someday.
Yeah, for all the wrong reasons.
You're just jealous. But Mrs. Frazier believes in me. She gives me solo parts all the time. She thinks I'll be a great singer.
Okay, quit bragging and clean up your room.
When I'm a rock star, you won't talk to me like that.
Big ego, little sense.
You'll see. We spent weekends with Dad, who had remarried. Although he loved me, he rarely talked with me about my real feelings. He was a jokester most of the time and made us laugh at him and at ourselves. Sometimes he took us fishing, but he teased me about my nose and ears feeding my insecurities. I felt ugly and worthless and spent hours getting dressed. One Sunday, when I was 12, one of my friends took me to church.
So God's word is sown throughout the world, and some falls by the wayside where the birds representing Satan pluck it up before it has a chance to grow. And some falls on rocky soil where it springs up but withers because it has no root. You have to be rooted and grounded in love, God's love. And some seeds fall among thorns, as Jesus said, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful.
That's right.
But make no mistake, that imperishable seed will accomplish God's purpose. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Amen.
Jesus is the living word of God, speaking to you now.
I hear.
Repent your sins. Come to him in faith and receive him as your Savior. Look to him. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father.
That's right, Jesus.
And he also says, he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Open your eyes. Turn from your sin and come to Jesus right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody was going up front and coming back crying. I wondered what was going on. They were talking about Jesus, and I believed he was the Son of God, so I went up front too and tried to pray. My friend was a Christian, so I thought I was a Christian after that, and even carried a Bible for a while. But I didn't understand it, and I didn't change, like the seeds on thorny ground.
Here's the check from Dad, Mom.
Oh.
What's wrong?
It just isn't enough.
I could get a job after school?
No. You're doing well in school, Barry. We'll move into a two-bedroom apartment.
I'm not sharing a room.
The boys can share one, and you can have the other. I'll sleep on the sofa in the living room.
I didn't appreciate Mom's sacrifices for us. I blamed her for Dad leaving us. One Christmas, I wanted to open my present right away. When she refused, I hit her. I'm sick now to think of how I treated her. Selfishly, I focused on me, on becoming a famous singer, which I thought would fill the emptiness in my heart. I sang in mixed ensembles and was known as a good singer in school. In 10th grade, I became a cheerleader.
Do you have cheerleading practice after school today?
Yeah, but I can't yell too much. I have a solo to sing in choir.
But yelling is what cheerleaders do.
I never should have become a cheerleader.
Well, you don't like it?
I don't fit in with the others. The girls make fun of me sometimes.
Oh, ignore them.
I can't ignore them, Mom. Yesterday, one of them said, "Don't you have any more clothes? You always wear that sweater."
I'm sorry, I can't afford to buy you new clothes, Cynthia.
When I'm a famous singer, I'll buy whatever I want.
Well, in the meantime, don't pay attention to catty remarks.
I hung out in teen disco bars, longing for someone to like me. Once a boy picked me for a couples dance in the skating rink, but it was a ruse. He threw me down at the end, getting a laugh at my expense. In my senior year of high school, I moved in with Dad so I could spend more time with him. I had to switch schools, but I adjusted. I started singing with a lounge band, learning the rock and roll style. And that year, I made a life-changing decision.
You can't quit school, Cynthia.
Yes, I can, Mom. I control my life, and I'm going on the road with the band.
You'll regret it. You're only 17.
I'm the lead singer. I've practiced for hours, day in and day out. This is my dream come true.
You only have one semester to go. Can't they wait till you graduate?
No. If I don't go now, they'll find another singer.
Well, you're making a big mistake, Cindy. I'll never say I told you so, but I'm begging you to stay.
Opportunities like this only come once in a lifetime, Mom.
Maybe your dad can talk some sense into you.
When Dad couldn't dissuade me, he talked with the band's keyboardist, Joey, and asked him to keep an eye on me. Joey agreed, and we left, playing bar after bar. One night, after hearing me sing, a couple invited me to join their escort service. Joey took me outside and explained what an escort service is. I was learning about the dark side of life.
What a dive this is.
Yeah. I'll be glad to get to the next gig, Joey.
Something's not right.
What?
Don't ask questions. Come outside with me.
The owner just pulled a gun.
Hurry, outside. I knew there'd be trouble. He doesn't want to pay us.
Looks like we'll be sleeping in the van tonight. After a year, I grew tired of that band and gave them 2 weeks' notice. We were in Florida, and when our gig ended, they deserted me, taking my pay and my clothes that were in the van. I was 18 and alone.
We'll hear more about Cynthia's story in just a moment. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And many homeless people arrive at Pacific Garden Mission sick and needing help. They come with battered souls, weathered bodies, and the mission provides fresh clothing while addressing the needs of their souls. But people who can't afford food can't afford dental care either. Regarding hygiene, they have accommodated to whatever was handy, and their teeth often need fixing. Their bodies often need treatment. That's why Pacific Garden Mission opened a medical and dental clinic, staffed at first with volunteer doctors and nurses. Today, the PGM Medical Clinic has a full-time doctor and nurses on staff who typically treat more than 400 patients a month. Specialists volunteer their time and services to help the homeless as needed. To learn more about this ministry to the homeless, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
Hello?
Hi, Dad. It's me.
Where are you, Cynthia?
At a hotel in Tampa, Florida. The guys abandoned me.
What?
I gave them 2 weeks' notice, and they were so upset they fired me. Then they took off with my money and my clothes.
That's despicable. Can you get to the airport?
I think so.
All right, I'll have a ticket waiting.
What an awful experience.
Mom, I thought the guys in the band cared about me.
Most people care only about themselves.
It was still a great experience. We drove all over the country.
Were you safe?
Sure. There are a lot of scary people out there, but I was okay.
Honey, you have dark circles under your eyes, and you're so pale and skinny. Are you eating right?
Now and then.
Well, I hope you get out of that business.
No way, Mom. I love singing rock and roll. I'm gonna find another band. I searched the newspapers, found a band that was looking for a singer, and I auditioned. They hired me as their lead singer, and we began performing near our home. By then, my brother Barry was married to his high school sweetheart. He lived a reckless life, drinking and going to bars with friends.
So I was over there.
Hey, Cynthia, I came by to hear you perform.
Didn't you get enough of my singing at home, Barry?
I hope you've improved.
Always the wise guy.
Hey, buy you a drink?
I'm not 21 yet, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Besides, I try to protect my voice. I don't smoke either or use drugs.
Yeah, I hear you're pretty popular with the college crowd.
I have a manager now. Signed a contract and everything.
Wow. You might be famous after all.
I might change the spelling on my stage name to an S, as in sin. I sang with several rock bands, playing the circuit in our area. Then my manager set me up with a new rock band. Then he sent my tapes to a couple of record companies. We performed in cities throughout the U.S. as my popularity grew, thanks to my manager.
Your ticket price keeps climbing, Cynthia.
Oh, good. We have lines out the door everywhere we play, especially in college towns.
That's where I try to book you.
I like to jump off the stage and move around the room.
You're quite the performer, Cindy.
Well, the competition's outrageous.
Your spiked hair is a nice touch.
Matches my personality.
I'm flying to California next week. I'll present your songs to the big guys out there. If they like what they hear, they'll fly here to see you showcase.
The head of the A&R department for the record company liked what he heard and flew out to see me showcase at a big bar where my band was popular. Rock musicians from all around came so they could hand the man their demo tapes. This was my chance to grab the brass ring, and I performed to the max. Hello?
Hey, Cindy. Outstanding job last night.
Yeah, he took me backstage and said I had great potential. He liked my voice, but he said I was too young yet.
Turns out he has to showcase another singer before he makes up his mind.
Who?
Unfortunately, one with name recognition.
The other singer got the contract, not me. Another record label was interested, but I was too discouraged to pursue it. I had worked so hard and my dreams were dashed. The hole in my heart ached so badly. I began to drink and party, even during performances. I became promiscuous and had an abortion because a baby would have interfered with my career. The dark side of life had captured me. Then I met a heavy metal drummer named Rick.
I like your style, Cindy.
I like yours too, Rick.
You hooked up with anybody?
I have a manager.
You know what I mean.
There's nobody special, if that's what you mean.
Then I'd like to be special.
I think you are. Rick used cocaine and smoked pot, and I lived with him and his band in a big house close to downtown. I began using drugs with him. 2 months later, we decided to get married.
Don't do it, Cindy. You'll ruin your career.
Oh, come on. Rock stars get married all the time.
You're not at the top yet. You're gonna gain a lot of weight, and then nobody's gonna be interested in you anymore.
You're wrong.
You don't know, kid. You're young.
I'm not giving up my career. I'm just getting married.
A major record firm has called twice to see how you're doing. They want to hear more songs and come to see you. They won't come if I say you're married now.
I love him. I can have my career and be married too. You'll see.
Hello?
Dad, I called to tell you I'm getting married.
Oh, good. I was beginning to wonder if any man would ever marry someone like you.
Dad.
Just kidding, honey. You're a real catch. So, who's the unlucky guy?
Stop it.
Just kidding, Cynthia. You know me. So who is he?
Rick, The drummer I told you about?
Oh, the guy you're living with?
Yes. We're getting married right here in the house where we live. The justice of the peace who performed the ceremony was inebriated, and my family was very uncomfortable in the house because Rick's buddies kept going up and down the stairs to use drugs and drink. I was 21 years old. After our marriage, we continued living in that house with his band until we decided to move to California. My manager dropped me. In California, I sang with Rick's band, but heavy metal didn't fit my voice. Again, we shared a house with the band where parties and drugs were plentiful.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, don't bore
me. Hey, you beat me back here.
Yeah, I got tired of the bar scene.
Should have been with me. What a blast.
What happened to your shirt?
I took it off.
Rick, this isn't working.
What isn't working?
Living here in California with your band.
Give it time.
We're drifting apart. You go your way and I go mine.
I'm not complaining.
You have your groupies.
You have yours, you flirt. So don't start ragging on me.
We were better off in Kansas. At least we got paid there. Here you have to pay to play. That's crazy.
That's show business. Grow up.
During the day, I worked at a health spa with some people who were Christians. They had such a peace about them, something I desperately needed and never had. I would lie in bed at night and hold my hand up in the air saying, God, if you're there, just grab my hand. I really want to know you. I don't know how, but I do want to know you. After a year, we moved back to Kansas and stayed with Rick's mom in her basement. I was no longer singing in a band. My husband and I fought so much, I suggested counseling, but Rick said there was nothing anyone could do. Hey, Barry. How are things?
Oh, just fine, Cynthia. Are you singing with the band now?
No. I keep hoping for a break, but nothing yet.
And Rick?
He's okay, but we still fight a lot.
My wife and I used to fight a lot, too, but the Lord helps us now.
You go to church now?
Yes. I try to follow the path that Jesus has for my life.
Hey, I'm interested in spiritual things.
Are you?
Yeah, I went to a tarot card reader and she gave me some tips. Then my friends and I tried the Ouija board. Strange.
Oh, Cindy, I'd stay away from that stuff.
Barry had a peace about him that I hadn't seen in him. I wondered how I could have that peace too. Nearly a year passed and then came a wake-up call. My maternal grandfather who moved to California died and I was devastated.
I don't see why you're taking this so hard. He was just your grandpa.
You don't understand. I was close to him. I loved him because he cared about me. He took me fishing and made me feel special. He was fun. He danced with us, did silly stuff.
So you're flying back for the funeral?
Yes.
I can't go with you. I have to work.
I know. Barry's wife can't go either.
You'll miss your friend's wedding. You're the maid of honor.
Well, I'll miss the rehearsal, but I can fly back the morning of the wedding. Barry and I flew to California together, and during the flight, he pulled out a Bible and read, embarrassing me. He even underlined verses, and I wondered, how can he do that in public? In California, he even apologized to me for making an insensitive remark. He asked my forgiveness, something he had never done. We shared a room in a friend's home, so that night I shared my fears of death, asking, where is Grandpa?
Well, according to the Bible, he's either in heaven or hell.
How do you know that?
That's what the Bible says. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
How do you even know that heaven or hell exists?
How do you know it doesn't? The Bible is God's word, and he says hell and heaven exist. And to those who repent of their sins and come to Jesus in faith to receive salvation, he gives them eternal life. But they will be in heaven with Jesus forever.
Barry, how do you become a Christian? I'm not saying that I'm ready to give up going to bars and stuff or give up my lifestyle, But I just want to know.
You need to repent of your sins, Cynthia, which means that you must turn from your ways to the ways that the Bible teaches. Place your faith in Jesus, the Son of God. He died to give you eternal life. Jesus' death was required by God because he's the sinless and God is holy. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." You have to believe that he died for your sins, that he rose from the dead. You must give your life to God and follow Jesus.
Okay.
The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here are some tracks you can read on your flight home.
All the way to the airport, Barry didn't say any more about his faith, but I thought about it. I wanted what he had. I was tired of my life, but I felt too dirty to come before a holy God. Flying over Las Vegas, I read the tracts, but decided not to pray the prayer that was printed. Instead, I poured out my heart. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died for my sins. I repent of my sins against God and you. Please forgive me. I want you to take control of my life. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I need you to change me.
What would happen to Cindy's marriage and career? We'll hear about that next week. Until then, listening friend, we hope you see for yourself that the Lord is faithful and true. Read his word and discover for yourself why Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." To learn more about this vital decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. I absolutely love Unshackled, a listener email us. We agree and hope you let the manager of this radio station know you'd like them to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3193, heard in the true story of a woman called Cynthia were Jennifer Dimmitt, Ana Maria Alvarez, Jeff Lupitan, Adam Sweeters, Joby Cerny, and Herb Lichtenstein. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nadine Aloisio. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. The script, Kenitha Gabler. I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410.